Well, good evening. Good evening. People are in different spots. I like that. That keeps me fresh when I look out and people in different places. It's good to see you. Thank you for coming out tonight. I certainly appreciate you taking the time, and I hope that you've brought your Bible. If you have it, please turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll be over there in just a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Sometimes lessons kind of come to you as far as how you end up giving them. This is one that's been on my mind a little bit, and I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago that just drove it home, and I realized that it was something I should preach on. We're going to talk about the last day. We're going to talk about the Lord's day. We're going to talk about the end of time. It's not really a very complicated subject within Scripture, per se. It's not even a complicated lesson, really. But I tell you, there is, and I hesitate to bring this up because I certainly want to be careful, but there are false doctrines about the end times, and not just within denominational groups. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about within churches of Christ that claim the Lord has already come or the Lord's day has already occurred. Is anybody, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but I'm sure some of you are at least familiar with that. If you're not and you run across it, it can be baffling. It is baffling, and it is unsettling. And what has made me upset about this was I had a conversation with a Christian friend of mine, and they had someone in the church had been teaching this doctrine for 3 years. They had been in a Bible class about this subject for 3 years. Just imagine what that would have been like. And the reason for that is when you teach this doctrine, and the doctrine is that the second coming of Christ has already occurred, and I know that takes a little while to actually get through your ears. This doctrine teaches that the second coming of the Lord has already occurred. You have to reinterpret so much about the Bible that it's just confusing as all get out. So with the idea that that is out there, and maybe you're being affected by it and I don't know it, maybe it's being taught or has been taught where you are, and I don't know it, I wanted to set it straight with some simple observations about simple scriptures that we will not have to explain elaborately. We will not have to do 3 years of class on. We can just look at and do what they say. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Now, this deals with this very idea. Paul is going to tell us that this kind of thing is going to occur. People are going to say the Lord has already come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to Him. Now, none of that's difficult, right? That's like everything the Bible teaches. It's like everything we teach. We live. The Lord is going to come again. There's going to be a judgment day. He's going to bring the Christians to heaven. Verse 2, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Okay. So as Paul is saying through the Holy Spirit, there's going to come a time when people teach this doctrine. Is it going to alarm and unsettle people? Yes, it's going to alarm and unsettle people. It is a false doctrine. It does not match with Scripture. The lesson I did a couple of weeks ago on Bible interpretation, right? The Bible is its own best commentary. Let clear Scripture interpret difficult Scripture. That's not a difficult Scripture. It's very clear. So everything else that I teach and say, or anybody teaches and says on the subject, should match up with those clear scriptures. Okay. Whew. I see your faces. I get it. I promise you I would have been, in your situation, I would be like, why is he talking about this? This is easy. Nobody's confused on it. Well, there are people that are confused on it. And we always have to be aware. You never know what you're going to have to preach about within the Lord's church, but things keep coming up. So I'm determined to at least have some antidote in your spiritual system. So let's take a look at what the Bible clearly says about the Lord's second coming. First of all, notice the phrase before I turn the screen, coming of our Lord Jesus. That's a very common term. It has to do with the idea of the second coming, right? The first coming would have been Christ being his virgin birth. He is crucified. He ascends, Acts chapter 1. Angels tell the apostles, in the same way that you see him go, he will come back. That is his second coming. And there's no other coming mentioned in the New Testament. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. This is a, a verse that we're all familiar with, talking, it's actually comes after Paul describing what it will be like when the Lord does come. It says this in 1 Thessalonians 5. Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night, we are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. The teaching of the Bible is consistent. The Lord is coming again. When the Lord comes again, that's the end of time, and we need to live our lives understanding that our lives are going to end, or the Lord is going to come, and then the judgment day is going to come. And we need to be sober-minded about that. So what does it tell us about those who want to say they know when the Lord's going to come? Or they've looked, and there's some numerology theory about Daniel and Isaiah and Matthew, and hold your mouth just right and look at it kind of cockeyed, and you can see the Lord's going to come on so-and-so date. Don't believe any of that. The Bible clearly tells us the second coming of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. That's why we need to be ready. If the Lord told us when he was coming, there would be no need for the incentive for readiness. So the Lord will come like a thief in the night. How many times will he come? Now, again, I've been in pews where preachers were talking about things I thought were ridiculous to talk about. I apologize, but I'm telling you, this is something you need to know. How many comings are mentioned? Is there ever a third coming mentioned in the New Testament? No. The Lord is born of a virgin? One. There's a second coming? Two. That's it. I'm telling you, there are those that teach this. This has to do with a theory about Revelation. For those of you who know a little bit about what I'm talking about, it has to do with theories on Revelation in Matthew 24. Does that ring a bell with anybody somewhere out there? So for this to be true, there had to be a first coming of the virgin birth, a second coming at that time, and now we're waiting for a third. The problem with that is, where does Scripture address a third coming? It does not. Remember what I said. My theory has to match up with what clear Scripture teaches. If my interpretation of a verse does not match up with what clear Scripture teaches, where's the problem? What I'm saying about the verse. So as we go through, and I don't know if you're aware of this, there are family members within this congregation who have left churches over this. This is not some minor thing. If this gets in the bloodstream of a congregation, it's very, very destructive. Okay, let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 9. And this is close to Hebrews 9:27, which we use quite a bit to talk about the fact that we die once and then the judgment day. Well, in the same idea about that, about how many times Christ lived and died, it has this to say about his coming. And I want you to look at this, what it says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9, and I'm not on the right page, verse 28. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear, you with me, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Okay, does the Bible teach a second coming? Yes. Does it teach a third coming? No. So if someone is trying to say to you the second coming has occurred and there's going to come another coming, you need to stop right there and say, you're going to have to show me that. Because what the clear teaching of Scripture is, the Lord came as born of a virgin, he died, he was resurrected, he ascended, he's coming again, and we need to live like it. And it's referred to in the Word of God as his second coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us something else about this idea about when the Lord comes. Because so many of these ideas about this just defy clear teaching of Scripture. Because if the Lord has already come, and we'll get into this in just a moment, but if the Lord has already come, why are we here? Why are we taking the Lord's Supper? Why aren't the elements melted? Why is this earth still existing? Why does death still occur? All those things are things that were to end at the second coming. So 1 Corinthians 15, 22. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 through 24. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. At the second coming, what happens? The end. That almost sounds as if I'm making that up, almost like a joke. That's literally what the text says. When the Lord comes again, that's the end. So how many comings? Two. What happens at the second one? The end. I know you're thinking, I know this, preacher. But what I'm preparing you for is there are those who teach that the Lord has already come, just as Paul said they would, and they are deluding minds. They are confusing people. And they are leading people to fall away from the Lord. There's no other way to look at it, because there's so many implications. If that is true, and it's not even kind of true, if it were true, then it has many consequences, including the following. Why on earth would someone who believed that take the Lord's Supper? Serious question. These people are in churches of Christ. We're not talking about other denominational groups. The kind of guy that believes this theory is the kind of guy that this is the only thing he wants to talk about. He thinks he knows something you don't know. It's the allure of the occult. Do you know what I mean by that? You know what the word occult means? We think of it like witchcraft, and that is part of what it means. It just means hidden knowledge. It's what Eve was tempted about, if you think about it. Think back to Genesis chapter 3. Satan says, you can eat that. You won't die. But I tell you what, God is keeping something from you. God knows something you don't know, and he doesn't want you to take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To Eve, that was hidden knowledge. That was, and then the word means this, it was the occult. So we want to know that, right? We all want to hear some new thing. If somebody has some new theory that nobody else has proven, wouldn't they feel really special? And there's the danger of this kind of doctrine. People will take advantage of you because of that curiosity that we all have. 1 Corinthians 11:26. This is back to the point. We take the Lord's Supper to remember the Lord's body and his blood, yes. But 1 Corinthians 11 says that our taking of the Lord's Supper has something to do with the end of time. You see the text behind me? Is it up there? We eat the bread and drink the cup to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. If he's already come, why am I bothering to take the Lord's Supper? Now, I will tell you, having dealt with a couple of people that believe this kind of thing, they don't want any part of this particular question. Because they know it's too upsetting to churches to come in and say, we're not going to take the Lord's Supper anymore. But if they really believe what they believe, then this will be the consequence of it. Well, two more verses, and these are probably the two you thought when you heard me talk about the end of time. You knew I was going to talk about one of these two. Let's go to Revelation 21, and we're going to look at this, and then we're going to ask a few simple questions. Revelation 21, verse 1. Revelation 21 is after Revelation chapter 22. As always, that's just the kind of insight I have to the Bible, but it matters because in Revelation chapter 20, you have the judgment day occurs. So 21 is after the judgment day, right? The dead are raised, your name's either in the book of life and you go to heaven, or you're judged and you're thrown into the lake of fire. Hades and death are all thrown into the lake of fire. There is no more death, the end. So what happens in 21? Oh, the good stuff happens in 21. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Now before I read this, I want you to understand this. If what they believe about Jesus has already occurred, then we're already living in this period of time. You understand what I'm saying? If what these false teachers believed was true, then what I'm about to read to you has already happened. And we live in this period of time. Because they believe the Lord has already come. So if they believe the Lord has already come, then they believe that these words apply to us now. So as we read this, just ask yourself, is it true? Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Now, I know what I'm thinking, which is, this is a great verse. This is so wonderful. This is our hope of heaven. These are exciting things that will be when we get to heaven. Absolutely. But what these people teach is that the Lord has already come and that this is in place now. Well, here are some questions about that I have. Are you saying the earth has passed away? The Bible only teaches the Lord's going to come twice. At his second coming, every other scripture in the Bible that talks about it says that's the end. That's the end of time. Has the world melted and gone away? Has the New Jerusalem come down? Do you still experience pain? Almost, it's a ridiculous sounding question. Is there crying? Is there death? None of those things will occur once the Lord comes the second time. So what about it? 2 Peter chapter 3. And this is just so decisive to this doctrine, I really don't even know what else to say about it. Every scripture of the Bible that talks about the second coming describes it at the end, as the end. When the Lord comes, there's no more. There is no life after the Lord's second coming. What these people try to teach you, and forgive me for even saying this much of it, I get a little upset, to be honest with you. They have to have you believe that every scripture in the Bible was written prior to AD 70, every one of them. And that every one of them that refers to the Lord's second coming refers to a second coming that occurred within 40 years of the Lord living on the earth. And that that has already occurred, and there's no other coming in the Bible. Then they have to believe that what I just read to you has already occurred, and they have to believe that this has already occurred. 2 Peter 3, you know this passage. Let's just read it. They will say, first of all, Peter here is talking about those who scoff at the Lord's coming. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." Now, Peter actually has quoted them here. Now he's going to interject. "For they deliberately overlooked this fact that the heavens existed long ago. The earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist, are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." Now you're thinking as you read this, well, that's simple. I understand that. There's no problem. Got it. If you believe this other doctrine, you'd have to rewrite every bit of that. Because what Peter is saying is this: God created the world by a spoken word. He deluged the world in the time of Noah and destroyed the world. And by that same word, he will destroy it with fire. Simple. When will it occur? At the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Notice he says the earth was formed out of water and through water, and that the world that then existed was deluged. By the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist. They would have you believe that Peter wrote this and 3 years later the entire world dissolved and went away. Exactly. I'm about to read to you what's going to happen at the end of time, at the Lord's second coming, at the only two comings that occur in the scriptures, the first and second. At the second, it'll be the end. The heavens and earth will disappear so that there can be the new heavens and the new earth of Revelation 21. So what about it? Verse 8. "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing any should perish, but that all should seek repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." Now, forgive me, they have to tell you that that has already occurred. Sorry. "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens, a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Amen. What a beautiful and uplifting passage. And as with all these passages, since the Lord's coming, since he's coming like a thief in the night, since that will be the end, how should we live? Peter is no different, verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks of them in these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, and they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and in the day of eternity. One last verse. I skipped verse 13. Verse 11 through 13. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, verse 13, according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's the truth of Scripture. We should look for the Lord's second coming. We should live like we know it's coming. We know it's coming as a thief in the night. Simple. I didn't have to say one word to you for you to get that. If someone is teaching you a doctrine different than that, that's what Peter was warning about in his last words there. People will twist the Scriptures. It's not they might. They will twist the Scriptures. They will try and fool people. They will confuse. They will unsettle. Why? Because if they can unsettle you from the faith, if they can unmoor you from the truth, if they can make you doubt your minister or your elders or those that teach among you, if they can bring false doctrine in and make you guess about what's being taught, they can run you out of the church. And y'all, there's only salvation in Jesus Christ. That's the lesson. If you have questions about this, there's more I could say that I don't really want to bring up without dealing with, so this is going to be much shorter than your usual lesson. But I wanted to just put it out there. I wanted you to think, well, yes, of course that's what it means. I wanted you to hear me say, preacher, you don't have to spend any more time with me. I've read it. I get it. It's simple. Yes. If anyone ever unsettles your mind on this, remember that it is easy and simple. How many comings to? When the Lord comes, it's the end of time. If the Lord has already come, why are we still here? Why is there pain? Why is there death? Why haven't the elements melted? Because when the Lord comes, the Bible clearly teaches that all those things will occur. But we whose names are listed in the Lamb's Book of Life, we get to go into the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, where the streets are 24 karat gold so pure that you can see through it, and where God is, and there is no separation between man and God, and there is no death, and there is no pain, and there is no mourning. Paul said that the crown of righteousness was for those who loved the Lord's appearing. Do you love the Lord's appearing? Do you want Jesus to come today? If I were to stand up here and preach the kind of sermon so many of us heard in our youth, and I said, the Lord could come tonight, are you ready? And by the way, that's absolutely the truth of Scripture. It is right to ask that question. How would you feel about that? Would you be frightened? Or would you love his appearing? If you don't know how to answer that question, or you don't love his appearing, the time to make that right is now as we stand and we sing.